All right. Welcome back. Everyone needs an Aquarius. We are back. We are back. Dom, how you been? How was your weekend?
Nigga, I had one of them weekends that make LA memorable, worthwhile. I fell in love with the city again over the weekend.
So this is like when you talked about how LA had lost some of that fun aspect. A couple of shows you talked about that. It's a throwback to one of those type of nights.
Yeah, so I got home Saturday night about 3:30 a.m. Your girl don't stay out like that. Y'all know I like my beauty rest. I be sleepy. You know, the world drains me and depletes me because as an Aquarius, I'm trying to save this hoe. And it's just not worth saving. I realized that. I told you on the phone just a few hours ago. Over it. If they want to start the rapture, if the aliens want to invade, do your thorough thizzle. But I'm bowing out. Like, but my brother is here filming a movie, and he was off Sunday, so it allowed us to hang out Saturday all day. And we went to brunch. Shout out to Tahir. There was this brunch at the Old Standard. And they have like a restaurant inside that looks like a diner, and it was like a hip hop brunch. Oh, and wow. We had so much fun. The DJ was phenomenal. Like, anytime I hear throw some D's on that bitch, like throw some D's, and then but like how he did it, he like mixed it with International Players Anthem, and it was just nigga, right? So much fun. Like, I probably have heard that before. You've probably heard that mix before, yeah. Like that, and just never paid attention to it because you're just having a great time.
Right. You're just not tripping off it.
Song after song. The food was amazing. And from there, I came home because I had need to buy my dog some food. Came home, sat down, took a nap for like 15 minutes, got up, got dressed, and went out all night. Went from West Hollywood to Beverly Hills, back to West Hollywood, kicking it at Boosie Bellows, where I might have got my eyes rolled again by a rapper that's about to go on tour. Maybe he met me in a past life and we had beef. I don't know.
Oh, he rolled his eyes at you?
Again? It was like weird. This happened the first
time. It's the same rapper?
Same rapper. The first time this happened to
me. They put his name in the chat.
Oh, we was talking about him earlier that was on the tour. Then I was telling you he jumped out of a skull on the No Way Out tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta tell you this story offline. but it is. So just so dope. And it just felt like old times. Like me and my like bro used to go out all the time back in the day and just kick it. And it was perfect. It was just perfect. No drama, not too many people. Ran into some people that I might have used to, you know, kick it with. And it was so crazy. Next day I got a call. Somebody's like, oh, you know. Cuz coach for the Lakers, you want to come to Denver today and come meet me in Denver? And I was like, I didn't hear you fly me out. I didn't hear you're buying my ticket. And he was like, okay, well, that's not a problem. I'll book that right now. You coming? And I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, still.
Listen, LA has been so good to me, so much fun. And it's time for LA to also reciprocate a little bit of the love and low my pockets, like make me a star. But it was fun. We had so much fun over the weekend, and now here we are. You know, basketball season is here. Yeah. Crazy that the Suns got swept, the Lakers are knocked out, and like I said, the Knicks are fighting for their lives. You're right, they're in overtime, but the Knicks are fighting because they're trying to knock them out.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about if Philly's fighting for their life because they're going to be down 3-1.
They already down 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1, yeah. So, if the six, yeah, because the Knicks win, they won the series.
I want the Knicks. I do want the Knicks to win. They're just a better team. You know, okay. Is it me Or is it that, is it the world like is obsessed with stats and numbers? And I guess maybe I'm just paying more attention to sports now, but I feel like everywhere I turn, it's a number, it's a stat, it's a comparison. And it's just like, I feel like that makes it
We have more stats capabilities now, like, and it's faster, okay. Easier to assist those numbers. And you have a lot of these, I forget what they're called, like stat engineers that actually work in on the teams now. Where they like they're acquiring players by they average 20 share scores per minute, you know, and all these kind of different random stats we didn't give a fuck about, you know.
Years ago. But also
and the gambling too, it's the gambling aspect too. Don't forget that part of my stats is up too.
We had this conversation last week. I don't want to talk about it. Sidebar. Didn't that guy's brother go to prison for killing somebody?
One of his other brothers is, yeah.
Okay. So the family all just messed up.
And
okay.
If you Google Michael Porter Jr. in his interview he had also, you'll see some more weirdness in their family. If you Google that and watch the interview.
Okay. I'll do that. What I was going to say was, I think also with the aspect of social media, it gives a lot of people a bigger platform to be able to kind of interject their feelings and emotions. And it's kind of weird. Like the commentary around Joel Embiid right now is really weird, because knowing that you can tell that he's injured, number one.
Yeah.
You can tell that. And on top of that, he has Bell's palsy at the moment. So his body, yeah. So like last week, if you notice, like one of his eyes, like he would go to blink, like his left side of his face, I believe, like his eye wouldn't blink. And so he came out, like I think game two or three in the post game, and said that he has Bell's palsy. And I kept saying that, and everybody's like, no, he doesn't. There's something else wrong. I said, motherfucker, like that's Bell's palsy. and he confirmed that. And I'm like, okay, he has a lot going on. So I think the world still lacks empathy. And I feel like, come on, y'all. You know, like, give the nigga some grace. Like, it ain't like he's fully healthy. And he's going hard. He's been very aggressive on top of his injuries too, because he probably should not have played this first round, but they probably would have got, you know, like, I'm not gonna say swept, but it would have been, they probably, yeah, this yeah,
yeah.
So y'all be kind. And
please,
that's
be kind.
It. And so also I'm like wondering what's gonna be a very interesting off season to say the least, because like what's gonna happen in Phoenix, what's gonna happen with the Lakers? There's so many conversations that's happening, especially with Golden State, because they didn't Clay and Golden State didn't come to an agreement on a contract extension. You know, the word on the curb is that Draymond might be getting traded. What we know for the past like what seven, eight years is done. It's a new dawn out here in these streets.
It's a new era. And Steph Curry, like, I ain't going nowhere. I got another baby on the way. I gotta pay for this new kid.
Yeah.
They ain't going nowhere. They ain't going.
I mean, the easiest thing for them to do will be to get rid of Draymond. But once that's gone, it's kind of done. Because if they can't figure out nothing with Clay, like I said, like the hope will be, well, one, the Lakers, I would say even regarding like the Suns and the Lakers, both of them need to fire their coaches. So let's start there. Then, with the Suns, y'all cleared, you know, out y'all bench, which y'all had a solid bench to get KD and Bradley Beal. And so y'all really don't have any bigs like that are defenders. So which is why they was kind of having a problem on that end when it came to trying to, you know, keep up with the Timberwolves. And also, sidebar, shout out to Kat, because I was like, who the hell is this? for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, look, I don't like him. He's been injured for so long. But I still don't like him because he's not my type of guy. But he balled, though. The other night, he balled.
Yeah.
He's just not my type of guy.
That's as much,
you know, this is not
me. Yeah. So I would be interested to see what's going to happen in the off season for sure. But hey, it's hot girl summer. We outside. We outside.
But I mean, somebody, man, that has not been nice is one Kendrick Lamar.
Ooh. Ooh.
But I think this right here will just give a set the tone for how Kendrick Lamar felt today when he woke up and released this song at 8:28. Hold on, that's not it.
Actually, well, he released it at 8:24.
8:24, right. 8:24, because that's the same number as the great Kobe to both his numbers, which is an amazing feat, like for real, in itself.
Yeah.
Give me a second, y'all. All right, y'all, here we go.
Allow me to introduce myself. I'm the bloke you're stealing from. The name's Alistair Rigby. But as far as you're concerned, I'm Willy fucking Wonka, and you're taking a shit in my fucking chocolate factory. Easy, boss. Don't get upset. When I have to go to the dentist, I'm upset. When Liverpool beats Arsenal, I'm upset. But when some little shit decides to take over one of the most profitable territories in the country, I'm beyond fucking upset. I'm very fucking upset. So, from now on, you're under new management. You will work for me, and in return, you'll receive an allowance.
Allowance?
Yes, allowance. As in, I'm allowing you to keep 10%, and I'm allowing you to keep drawing breath on this earth. Now, you either get down or you lay down. What's it gonna be, sunshine?
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, fuck you. Fuck the plane you flew in on. Fuck them shoes. Fuck the socks with the bell on it. Fuck your gay-ass fairy faggot accent. Fuck them cheap-ass cigars. Fuck your yuck-mouth teeth. Fuck your hairpiece. Fuck your chocolate. Fuck Guy Ritchie. Fuck Prince William. Fuck the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the fuck out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the shit out of you.
That was one Kendrick Lamar. That fool said, fuck the queen. Fuck the queen. But yo, Kendrick, like, man, I didn't expect this to be happening. I was so giddy. It literally changed my whole day. I didn't do anything today for work, for real. Like, I had to literally take a meeting later on today for work. And that was the only, like, that was the first time I actually did work today. It rearranged my whole day.
So I'm gonna imagine. I'm gonna name people that you called.
Oh, you, yeah, I called at least 30 people. But keep going.
Yeah, go, I was like, I'm gonna. First, because you are an Aquarius, and sometimes we like to troll.
You already know who it was.
You called Doja first.
Yes, he's the very first person I called.
Yes,
very first person I called was Doja.
I think. Let's stay here for a second. I know you probably talked to Sleepy.
Right after that.
Yeah. Maybe.
Doja ushered me off the phone pretty fast.
Sleepy did?
No, Doja did.
Oh, of course he did. Of course he did. Part of me wants to say maybe you call Stacy, but then part of me kind of feels like you might have called another guy. I don't know why Teddy is in at the top.
Teddy,
like,
is the next person that I did call.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, good. I was like, I'm feeling.
It was Javon, then Teddy, Javon said to call me back.
Okay.
Then
okay.
We proceed. Then after that, Teddy calls Javon, calls me. We call Sleepy, and then we call other homeboy Tap. So it's five of us on the phone talking about it at one time, like some high school girl.
that like that's I think that's cute. I really like that, you know. okay, I'm gonna.
It brought us all together. Kendrick Lamar brought us all together to talk.
Okay, so Doja, I want to say this to you. I want to be honest with you. Drake has not grown with us. I want to reiterate that. We said it a couple of episodes ago when this dropped. You know, since his head was in the clouds, what was that? Nothing was the same.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't really evolved. And like we spoke about offline, you know, the people in his age bracket, we're adulting. We are. The only thing that he got on us is his bank account, for real, like in his celebrity. You know, we're moving on. We are doing different things, having families, getting married. And he definitely has a specific target audience currently, and it's not me. So I can't relate to him. Even at his concert, I didn't buy a ticket. But I kind of felt disconnected in a little way from him. You know, even on the songs that I knew, I just felt like there was just like kind of like a disconnect there, which is okay, you know, whatever, to each their own. But I feel like he is for the guys that are the hopeless romantic, that are naive. And I think we're all a little delusional to a certain extent, but they might be a little more delusional than us. And it's like, the world is against you. But it's really, the world isn't. It's just that you made bad choices. So your back is like, you made your back be up against the wall because of the choices that you made. So in this, I was telling you earlier, I was like, I think that people don't connect with this in regards to Kendrick, and my play brother said it best, Mikey. He said that he had a post last week where it was like the average American's reading level is like an eighth grade reading level, which I thought was kind of high. I always thought it was like fifth grade level, because I feel like eighth grade requires you to use a certain amount of context clues and understand certain words that I feel like the average American doesn't understand. And so within this diss to him, it's a certain reading level for you to be able to break down and process what the fuck he really saying to Drake. And like you said, he is a Pulitzer, you know, award-winning rapper.
Mm-hmm.
That says enough right there. And I think we're also used to diss records sounding a certain way and being able to go up in the club, and this ain't that. Which is cool. I'm not mad at that. But here we are. You have the floor.
Thank you. Your Honor.
You like the introduction?
Yeah. So, where do I start from? I would like to start first. At the very beginning of the song, the little blurbs that you just think is some scratched up voices, that is actually Mr. Richard Pryor from The Wiz saying, "Everything they say about me is true." Backwards. So it started out black. He literally is leaning on this, like, yo, I'm blacker than you. I'm everything than you. The idea that you wouldn't grab The Wiz for a reference, and nobody, people don't even know it just to start it, starts out with the Teddy P, letting you know we finna be black, blackity black today. We ain't doing no, we ain't got BBLs going on or nothing. We just old school black over here.
Yeah.
This man proceeds to eviscerate this. I thought the story of Adidon was bad. Like, and you know, we love Pusha T on this show. Look, that is one of our top interviews that we want is Pusha T. We are Pusha T stands. This was something. This track was so amazing, and for real, like, honestly, people that are saying like, oh, it's lat rack or mid, that's cool. We don't have to have rap conversations at all. I gave props to Drake when he did a dope track. Don't. It's no way possible you can read those lyrics or hear those lyrics and say the song is mid. You don't know rap. Or you really don't love rap that much. That's my conclusion. You don't love rap as much as you claim you do. And with that being said, he proceeds. And if the way he wrote it, it's like a writer. Like we talked, he's a Pulitzer winning writer. He takes you on a journey. He starts you off real slow. It's like going up a roller coaster. You're literally going up. Tick, 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 tick. He's just laying the landscape for you. Switch the beat, drops you off. And you just start going up and down, up and down. And he takes you for a ride throughout the song. There's so many different quotables from this song. This is when you like, so because I was talking to the man. This track may end up being one of the top five diss tracks of all time. And somebody was like, and the person I was talking to was like, really? You think so? I was like, think about it, man. Diss tracks change narratives of the whole thing of someone. What was the theme of the Metro Boomin' Drake song? It was like Metro go make some keep making drums, right? That was the thing that get taken out. There's 20 different things you could take out of this. Everyone's gonna have their own thing they brought out of this. The main thing is we don't want you saying nigga no more, which is, listen here, Dom. The idea that you told another black man he can't say nigga no more, and now people are really thinking about it like, should we say?
Yeah, like there's already an article up saying
that's But I Only Listen to 90s Music Podcast is a show for 80s babies who were 90s kids. If you were a No Limit soldier, then this is your show. If you believe that Cash Money is not an army but was a navy, this is the show for you. If you and your friends ever tried to sing a song written by Escape, In Vogue, Shy, or Boyz II Men at a talent show during middle school, this is your show. But I Only Listen to 90s Music Podcast is a bunch of 80s babies talking about all the songs and things that we loved when we were kids and teenagers. So if you went to the skating rink and you were at a lock-in, this is the show for you. If you think that Tevin Campbell was the original prince of R&B, this is the show for you. If you don't understand the conflict between Monica and Brandy, but you're kind of on Monica's side and understand why Brandy got punched, this is the show for you. Make sure that you tune in, subscribe, click the little subscribe link. We're here. We're going to talk about all things 90s music. This is the show for you.
Yeah, there's already an article. I forget who just published it, but it's like, should biracial people be allowed to say
nigga? I'm sure you want to do that.
Like,
we're talking about just Drake.
You know, I mean, it's definitely a conversation. I think that
I hope that's why I hate the think piece shit. Because he wasn't talking about all biracial people. He was just talking about Drake. And that's the thing is, people were like, man, it's not something I really want to bump a diss. It wasn't for you, ma'am. It wasn't for you, sir. It was for a party of one. Drake. He was directly, it was like he literally went over to his house and was like, yo, I'm going to slap the shit out of you personally. I don't care if no cameras here. I don't care what it is. I don't like you, nigga.
Okay.
The nigga said, I hate you. Number one, like, I've never heard him just say, I hate you on a track. I hate you. I hate your hair.
So to clarify, this beef stems from Control era, right?
Before that.
So, okay, what happened before that? Because I think that's where I'm a little...
Well, Kendrick claims that Drake had been sneak dissing him for a while. Supposedly, okay. Drake is sneak dissing Kendrick on Poetic Justice even.
Okay, so...
He even says in the song, you've been sneak dissing me for a long time.
So they was on fucking problems together. Was he sneak dissing him on that?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I have to go back and look on that. But I know that people, I know I've heard people before say on Poetic Justice, Drake was sneak dissing Kendrick on his own album.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then you got to remember when Kendrick.
I think Poetic Justice is after fucking problems.
No, it's before.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's on Good Kid, Mad City.
Damn, I'm getting my gears mixed up.
Yeah, that's on Good Kid, Mad City.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Puckin' Problems came out maybe like a year or two later, I believe, on ASAP's album. You gotta remember that's
that was 2013.
Because that's mixtape ASAP was out at the time when Swimming Pools and all that came out. That was mixtape ASAP rocking in. He hadn't had a full album yet. ASAP hadn't.
Oh, it was a year prior.
Yeah.
Just about a year.
Right. Okay. So I wouldn't be surprised if we go back and listen if they dissing each other on there. But then Kendrick Lamar really sent that real nuclear nuke at him on that freestyle from the Cypher, the BT Cypher.
Okay.
When he was like, I'm tired of all these niggas wearing pajamas and stuff. We're going to get these niggas up out of here. High five. And then he high five one of the dudes with TDE. Okay. That's what he should have known. Like, and the thing that is amazing about this song, another thing is tons of things. But we're not going to dig into it like line for line. That's not necessarily, you know, this type of show. But if you look at it, that's one way to look at it is the way he take you on a ride. The second way is think about a comedian that says something and you'd be like, dang, it's funny because I thought about that, but I've never had anybody convey it lyrically of what my kind of inner thoughts was about. No one's ever said it out loud.
Yeah.
That's what Kendrick did to Drake on this whole song. He really didn't do anything personal about him or anything that wasn't already out there. It was all stuff that was generally out there, but he put it all together in one thing. It's like a serial killer where you're like, dang, he did that there. Oh, I see the full picture of what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Like he's going after him line for line. He did not waste a line in there. If you go down every one of the lines, even when he say you on demon time, you know who, guess what Future's middle name is? Damon.
That's what I was to say, Damon, right?
This little small shit like that he was doing in this song.
Okay. Like I said,
like you a light skinned demon time. Saying basically you a light skinned wannabe Future.
Makes sense. Well, I was gonna tell you, like you said, like when he said the line about the sun when we were talking about it, and I was just like, there are moments when my mouth just opened. Excuse me. And I was just like, damn. And that was one of those moments where he was, you know, I was just like, my God. It was crazy. But you know, also, but like I told you, I see your perspective. Mm-hmm. And then seeing other people's reaction to it, I also see their perspective where they felt like he, you know, it could have been different or he could have came even harder at him. And I was just like, well, I mean, really when you read these lyrics,
it's crafted. Like this ain't no, and it's different, I guess. And to a degree there are, it's different people that have different styles of what they like, their diss track. But this diss track is so layered up. Drake don't even know. It's like, you literally hear something, you'd be like, that wasn't talking about nothing. Then you realize because you look at another line, you'd be like, he literally has lines re-referencing each other going back and forth from earlier in the song to come back here. Almost, it's like a writer, like footnotes. Right. Like, hey, go check back at the beginning because you'll get this part if you go look at this part.
Yeah, no, for sure. I believe, you know, what we were talking about, you know, offline regarding, you know, him being like a top five or top three rapper. And I was telling you, I was like, I think you kind of have to be very clear and specific on the criteria for that, because a lot of people are not touching Kendrick lyrically. You know, we're not talking about necessarily big top 10 hits on the Billboard charts. A lot of the great people that we know about, like, are not recognized in that way. And it makes you take a step back and think. So I feel like that's one of the things that you have to be very explicit and specific about when you are explaining to them why. You know, and half the people, like I said, we talked about this before when we were talking about misogyny and all this stuff in rap and saying how the genre should have evolved by now to so many, and some people just want to shake their ass and have fun. Like, they want to bend it over, make their coochie breathe. That's cool. I ain't got no problem with that because I'm going to do it. But then as far as certain other aspects of it, you do want people to show up like Kendrick, like a J. Cole, like a Nas, like a Killer Mike. Like, when I was talking to you, I was like, yo, like, I didn't know, one, Killer Mike dropped an album. Two, it was that great. And you were like, yeah, girl. And I was like, oh, shit. So that's what I'm saying. So you want things like that. And you want, and the young cast, they not gonna get it. If you know, you know, and if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, you don't. I'm not about to keep breaking it down to you, but that's what you want out of your artist. And also, like, a lot of, like, Killer Mike is what, 40 fucking five, maybe a little older.
45, 46, yeah, somewhere in there.
I'm talking about my life that I'm experiencing at this age, things that I've gone through that I'm reflecting upon, and that's just what it is, and that's what we want our artists to do.
Mm-hmm. Man, I had to explain to you why the YNW Melly line. That's for like some super hood stuff. Like the idea, he says, "Yeah, Cole Aubrey, no, I'm selfish, nigga. The crown is heavy, huh? I pray that my real friends, if not." I'm YNW Melly. Like, I'll kill these niggas. Because YNW Melly, for those people, he killed his two best friends in the back of the car.
And they said it was a drive-by.
Right. And they tried to act like and dump their bodies out to make it look like it was a drive-by. And then they were like, no, they got shot in the car, not outside the car.
People are really crazy.
I mean,
people are really
crazy. Dude, he said, you fucking with that Pusha P. You fucking with that Pusha T. And then the slick part, I had to realize, Terrence Thornton, he said he's Terrence Thornton. That's Pusha T's real name.
Yes.
And, yeah. And I'm Terrence Crawford. We both, he said, I'm whooping feet. I didn't know that. You live in LA. I didn't know whooping feet meant beating somebody up so bad that they came up out their shoes. Think about it. He said, I'm just reading this line for y'all. I know we're not going to break it up, but this is hilarious. Yeah, fuck all that pushing P. Let me see you push a T. You better all spinning on him again. You think about pushing me? He's Terrence Thornton. I'm Terrence Crawford. Yeah, I'm whooping feet.
Like, I just...
Look, Drake only has one quotable from that other one. And that was a good diss. The song Metro stick to playing drums or whatever. You can talk to 10 different people. They're going to pull out something different from this.
No, that's true. But see, this goes back to even when we talk about how people miss the mark on Meg's Hiss. You know, mm-hmm. It's like two bars, like, you know, that are really about Nicki, maybe three.
Mm-hmm. But she was talking about Drake a lot on there.
She was talking about Drake a lot. And this makes me, you know, when we talk about Drake and his many personas and, you know, him adapting certain things, and it's just like, so you're going to explore this genre. Now you have the accent. What is that? What's going on? And like she said, like, you be around.
He talks about his accent there. He was like, he's like, fuck your little fake accents.
Yeah, but she referenced that shit too. Yeah. And so it's just... It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Do I feel like, do I wish that it was more sped up? You know how we're used to things kind of being back in the day? Yes. Is the waiting time making me bored? Yes. Was I more entertained with Chris Brown and Quavo? Absolutely. But, you know, I know that one, I'm being real. That one, if that doesn't cease fire soon, that doesn't stop. Violence will erupt, I'm telling you. And the OGs are gonna have to step in, dissolve, like, and break it up. I'm telling you.
And Kendrick Lamar set this up where it ain't nobody coming in to stop this. This is his, because remember, Pusha only gave him what, 2 or 3 minutes or story. He's like, I got more waiting for you. Kendrick said, I'm getting it all out now. I don't need no more Jay Prince coming to talk to me. None of that.
Don't call my phone.
Yep. Cause you know he's gonna go radio silent again,
right? I was like, he probably don't even have one.
He don't even have. He probably got a landline.
Yeah. He probably got a landline.
Dude, the dude it's a masterpiece of a disc because it's so layered. And maybe some of y'all niggas is just simple. I'm sorry if you just can't enjoy this and give it what the props it is. I ain't saying you're gonna sit herald it as much as I do, but to say it's mid. It really shows me a lot about your intelligence. I'm going to be honest with you.
I think it's a beat thing. I really think it's a beat thing because I feel like if it was the same over some super bass heavy, you know, instrumental, I think people would not feel like that. And that's just I'm just keeping it a buck.
But do you think that the beat would have, if it was a super dope beat, would have taken away from the track of like you listening to it as much? Because you'd have been like, oh, this kind of nice. I like this. And you ain't listening to what he's saying.
I think the first time
a beat can overshadow your lyrics sometimes.
It can. But I think people that are fully invested in this beef, you're gonna play it multiple times back to back because you're wondering if you missed something, like you said. So you're like running it back. It's like, oh shit, I caught this, now I caught that. This person caught this, this person caught that. So I don't necessarily believe that would be true in this case, but I can see how he, you know, what he was trying to do, like the build up, like, you know, like you said, in a story. And then at the end, it was a little more, you know, spicier, like a little more up tempo. But
no, and look, think about it. He did four different Kendrick characters too in the song. He did the introspective Kendrick at the beginning, all slow and kind of like talking to you. He did like the one that's kind of like the one in the, how you doing? Like the kind of that kind of like thing. Then he did the angry Kendrick. And then he did the other Kendrick, the hateful Kendrick, like, which is even worse than the other Kendrick. He basically built it up. And that last part was basically the mad Kendrick from the song with Future and them, where he was like, bum, fucking bum. People called him a bum. Like, this is, and like, keep in mind, Drake is probably, he'll be all right. He'll be okay. But it's the end of him trying to get that hood credibility. That hood credibility is gone. The street he wants. Here's the thing.
Okay, so let's stay here.
He'll still be popular. He'll still make his money. He'll still be a star. But the hood, he ain't coming back from this. This is it. He wants that hood credibility. Is what I'm saying.
Okay,
because
I mean, your dad's from Memphis, but you're not. And so I always was under the impression that we all were aware and understood the Canadian aspect of the graphic.
Like Kenny said, why are you talking about guns and stuff? And
I was under the impression that we knew it was for show, just it wasn't real. You know, like you let somebody pee on you in a movie theater and you didn't whoop ass. So I thought we all knew that he was, you know, cosplaying the hood a little bit, or like you hood by association because of your parents. Like, I mean, because of your dad. Like, I thought we all knew that and didn't take a lot of the things that he said as law. I literally look at Drake literally as a certified lover boy.
But you remember he's been talking about them guns stuff in the last couple of albums that he's so hard and stuff. And then Kendrick can say,
my hands are only in the clouds. That's as far as I get.
Because Kendrick goes, I hate when a rapper talk about guns and somebody die, then turn into nuns, then hop online. Like, pray for my city. He faking for likes and digital thugs. Now, this is the line that's the killer here. And this is the one that I don't know. This is the one that's up for debate. Because I think people think he's talking about Baby and Lil Wayne here. His daddy a killer. He want to be Junior. They must have forgot the shit that they done. Dementia must run in his family, but let it get shaky. I'll park his son. Talking about Lil Wayne. He taking shots at them too. Like, go and bring them out. I'll park them too.
Well, shit.
Man, he said, I'd rather do that than let a Canadian nigga make Pac turn into his grave. Talking about when he bought that ring.
And we know hood niggas, like, you know, like we grew up in the hood. So I've never heard a hood. I understand people like enjoy his music, but I never knew that anybody
he wants real rap fans to love him too.
Nigga, like Chris Brown. Never mind.
But he also wants real rap fans to appreciate him for bars. Problem is, he's got a lot of asterisks on his name.
They just know and love. Let that be enough. See, this is what happened when you be trying to reach too far.
And this is what he got. And then he flipped every one of Drake's disses. When Drake was like, it's 20 v 1, he's like, and Kendrick say, yes, yeah, 1 versus 20, me versus 20 your ghostwriters. And they named him like a team.
Yeah,
what did Drake say this in the song? He's short, you know.
It was like Nicki Minaj on Bigfoot. It's like you had one line that was like, okay, you got something right here. And then it's like, we're not talking about it.
No.
We're not really even talking
about it. We're talking about the Metro Boomin on there more than anything. When he said Metro Boomin, stick to producing or whatever, or you know, go make a drum beat or whatever he said. This is different because then he was trolling. You know, he's been trolling, you know, like people and stuff. Suppose, I think the thing that started this and him made him kick it off, I don't know if you saw that when Drake went to his wife's school, college, and took a picture there. In front of her old college and took a picture there and put it on his Instagram.
Okay.
That's what he's like. We ain't talking about families now. Don't bring my family into this. And then when he said, you don't, he's like, I got time to go. I got to go take care of my son, but you don't know about that, huh? I'm making him a better man. You don't know about that, huh? Because we know. Teaching him how to pray. You don't know about that, huh?
We're talking about, like, you know, you like people think they want that that fame and that comes with that, like, you know, because like nobody's off limits. Nobody.
Woo, man, he was cooking.
Because it couldn't have been me.
I mean, you know what I mean? Because it's like he literally did so many different things. He went after anything. Any of you are a real man. All this stuff is, not gonna say real man, because I don't like to deduce anyone to not being a real man. But any man that purports himself as being a man.
Okay, I sent you a screenshot, and this is a tweet for a thread from somebody named James Jefferson. It said Drake used a Teddy P sample in the beginning. Teddy P was in a wheelchair, Degrassi, after getting in a car accident. It also exposed that he was with a trans woman at the time of the accident.
That's true.
Kendrick says, fuck all the pushing P. Teddy P, let me see you push a T. Wish they was saying that
Teddy Pendergrass.
And then, because you know, on the sex sites, they call them like TS or like. Also brings up real women at some point. Euphoria is the name of the show.
And, he says, hate bitches you fuck because they confuse themselves with real women.
Yeah. And so Euphoria is the name of a show and also where a main character falls in love with a trans woman. They said Euphoria is about Drake's secret sex life. And it's like, I'm guessing.
Wow. That's a great stretch, though. I don't know about all that.
He said it's just a theory. It was just wild. I was like, oh, hell, I got to say
this. But that's how dope this song is that you can come up with these different theories within it.
Yeah.
You know, it is like, if you look at like any classic diss track, it's always a narrative that you know coming from it. Even with this, you know, you got talking to him. That's why I fucked your bitch. You already knew what we was about on this song right in the beginning from that.
Yeah.
Ice Cube and No Vaseline. Why are you letting this Jewish dude steal y'all money? The bridge is over. You know, he's talking about Queens. Queens is still in it. You could just go through any of those classic diss tracks. Yeah. There's a narrative in there. This has so many narratives in it.
Yeah.
I would love for him to shoot a video for this. I don't know why. I don't know how he could do it, but it would just be amazing if it was like an animation, not even like a real, like an animation video version of this.
Yeah.
And somebody's probably already doing it. They ain't got nothing to do with Kendrick. It's going to be somebody random that does this shit on the YouTubes.
And I like that he, because sometimes we, when we get like certain diss, or whatever. Like, you don't necessarily get the person saying, calling a person out directly by their name. It's mm-hmm. like all these innuendos around it, insinuating is this person, but this motherfucker said Drake. Drake. Like,
I like Drake with the melodies. I don't like Drake when he act tough. You gonna make me bring you gonna make a nigga bring back Puff.
Yeah.
Let me see if Chubbs really crashed something.
Listen, I was like, wow.
You said, yeah, my first one, like my last one. It's a classic. You don't have one. Talking about a classic album. He's like, you don't have one.
Now, Kendrick.
No, I know, but it's a great line, though. He said my first one, like my last one.
Yeah. I'm like, baby, what's the one with what's been a minute? I think that's Take Care, or is that? No, that was Nothing Was the Same with Janae. Take Care is the one with Rihanna, yes. Which also I don't believe has any skips.
Oh, I mean,
I think that one has no skips.
That dude said headshot for the year. You better walk around like Daft Punk. For those people that may not know Daft Punk.
Yeah, so I'm about to say, I was like, if you don't know who Daft Punk is.
they're an electronic group band, and they wear these different helmets and different hats if you don't know who they are and everything. Yeah. So he's like, headshot, you might as well walk around like Daft Punk.
Sia never shows her face.
You said who?
Sia.
Who does? Really?
I want us rain from the chandelier. She don't ever show her face. She always got her eyes covered. Like, you might see her nose, her mouth.
Some of Sia, like, how do you spell it?
S-I-A.
S-I-A. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at her. Okay. I mean, they're showing a full picture of her, but Martin, looks like most of them, she ain't showing her face.
Yeah.
Then I've heard her music. I just never tripped off of it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to belabor the whole show with this, but damn, man, that was just
keep going. Weird. The Knicks lost.
Oh, yeah. So we got a game 6 coming up, y'all.
Yep.
All right. So this one is an amazing situation here that we're going to talk about here as we transition to another topic.
Fake his own death? Retail tycoon Carl Erevan Haub was declared dead after he vanished under mysterious circumstances in 2018 on a ski trip to Switzerland, but now it seems he may be living in Moscow with his mistress. Haub was last seen alone on the ski lift, but he never returned to his hotel, and his body was never found. He left behind a wife, 2 children, and a company of 75,000 employees. Now an investigation has revealed he's living in Moscow with Veronika Ermolova, who was 20 years his junior. Haub called her 13 times in the 3 days before his disappearance.
Yo.
Yo.
That is wild.
So it's also, they're also saying that he could have been in a little bit of financial trouble, like in some business dealings
mm-hmm.
that played also a part in his disappearance. And so he was recently spotted, like you said, they said in the video, in Moscow. But I'm like, damn, how you? The wife is one thing, okay? Like, I'm going to keep it a buck. The wife is one thing. You don't want to have to split. But, like, technically, that would mean that she would be entitled, you know, you and your kids, based on whatever your last will and testament, you know, would be. So, like, did you just start over, or did you, like, stash money somewhere where you was good?
Oh, he had to have stashed money. When them,
like, an offshore account? Yeah, because I'm like, but I'm like, okay, again. This sounds fucked up. The wife is one thing. Nigga, you got kids. And you just was like, fuck them kids. This is what I mean. You see why I don't be wanting to be dickmatized? I said this on my podcast so many times. Dick and coochie will make you act a damn fool. You think, you're not about to control me with your magic stick. Now, would I control you with my cootie cat? Not likely, but still.
Stop.
That coochie ain't that. Like I told you, when how they've been acting. that diss to Quavo. I said, do we need to sleep with Karrueche? Because the coochie on Karrueche gotta be immaculate. It makes no sense. I know that sounds crazy. Like, damn, like, I understand motherfuckers want to leave their partner. But I'm like, not to the point where they are faking dead.
Fake their death? That's wild business.
And I think they said he disappeared and he was finally legally declared dead. I forget the date that they said. But that means that even if he resurfaced, like, he could not be punished by law. Because, like, even here, I think it's 7 years they'll declare you.
But that's in the U.S. But that's over in Europe.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, what was the time frame when they legally declared him dead? Because now he wouldn't reap the in 2021, he was declared dead by a German court after an extensive search yielded no results. And then, but then they said, so after this, they said investigations by journalists from RTL, whatever that is, have prompted the state prosecutor's office in Cologne to look into allegations of Hall's brother, Christian. He may have provided false information regarding his brother's disappearance. So he's been in contact with people. And evidence, including photos allegedly showing Hobb in Moscow in 2021, has surfaced. According to reports, there is a significant resemblance between him, the individual, and the images in Hobb, with similarity of around 90%.
So they're saying it might be his brother?
No, they're saying it might be him based on, they said the brother likely gave a false report. So the brother, he was likely in on it, is what they're saying. And then this person that they're seeing in around Moscow is about not, I'm not trying to be funny. There's certain places, if I want to fake my death, where I'm not going, and staying in Germany is not one of them. I'm not interested in it. Like,
no, you gotta understand Moscow. You gotta understand he can't be deported out of. You can't go in and get him in Russia because of all the stuff going on right now. So that's why he did it. Why he's in Moscow?
Yeah, but this happened in 2018.
Right, but I'm saying, but I think we've had issues with them for the last 5 years. Well,
I know
Germany has too. Though,
I know, but all these trading partners. So because it's still, if they launch an investigation, I don't know what their laws are, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Versus ours, because if after 7 years, you can't be prosecuted for anything. Because like that's if it's over 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
But why is it over 7 years that you're not prosecuted? Why is that the... So if I fake my death and I stay out of the loop...
If they declare you legally dead after 7 years, because that's a crime punishable by law.
So right, but why is it like it open? Why after 7 years I could just pop back up and then it's all good?
I don't know. I didn't write the laws. Like,
yeah,
we'll have to do. We'll look. Let's see.
I'm googling it now. Let me see.
Yeah, how.
All right, so I'm just looking here. It says, faking a death is not a victimless act. The people who grieve they believe was a real death are usually angry, and sometimes they're those who are unaware that the death is fake may be feel emotionally abused and manipulated. But they said, legally you can do it, though. Wow.
Yeah. So it said, in proceeding under this part, a person who has not been seen or heard from a continuous period of 5 years by those who have likely seen or heard from the person who's absent, blah, 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 is legally declared dead. So it's like after 5 years.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's like I'm seeing mixed stuff.
Yeah.
I'll have to consult with my attorneys on that one.
Yeah. We want this.
It may vary state to state. Maybe he got some information and he felt comfortable kind of moving around because you was off grid for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he thought it was all good, or I don't know what he was.
And also, I'm like, nigga, like you didn't think to get your face altered?
And especially if you got money.
Especially if you got money. You didn't watch Face Off?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Hold on.
Like, you dropped the ball, my guy. Like, the disguise of so many things can even happen with makeup. Like, you should not be out in public as your regular authentic self. You know what I mean? It's just too risky.
Hold on, Dom. It's our favorite time now. It's that time. It's that time. Surviving Diddy is back.
It is. This time with Aubrey O'Day.
Yes, go for it.
You know, I just want to say this. I do want justice for Danny DeCane, but Aubrey got to get it together because she is walking around looking like Meryl from like Goldie Hawn and motherfucking Death Becomes Her. She looks bad, and I know life is hard, but when life is hard, like, I don't go get Botox and fillers. Like she looks great, and she's a nice looking girl, you know what I mean, when she was in Danny DeCane.
And I mean, she's 40 years old now.
Daryl,
yeah,
we're close to you just a little beyond 40. I'm close to 40 at 37.
Mm-hmm.
We look like we still in our early 30s.
Black don't crack.
I know, but that's what I mean. Aubrey, you should be spending time on the skincare instead of getting the fillers and the like, all of this stuff pumped up in your body and your face.
Oh, like, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like, make the math math. So, this time, you said that... the article is reporting that Aubrey is alleging that Diddy tried to buy her off with the royalties. Now, is this the same thing that when he tried to give them back their royalties plus like what, $800? Is this the same thing, or is this another occurrence that happened prior?
That's a good question.
Because if that's it, then it's like, okay, girl, you already told us this. What's the tea? Like, what's the real tea? Because you said that you didn't do that. And so I'm just really trying to understand what is she trying to accomplish here. You're not adding fuel to the fire. You're not making things worse for Mr. Combs, baby girl. Like, you've been speaking out about this for a long time. So until you start telling us what the fuck happened, we really don't give a diggy dime.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Diddy thing. It's gonna keep writing itself at this point.
Yeah,
I know he's glad that Kendrick Lamar came out with a diss track. Keep a little bit of heat off of him for the day. You know, anything that happens, Diddy happy about it. Just please, just
right. Something.
Carisha, go get into a fight with what's her the other city JT. Girl. Then. JT, go get in the fight with her.
It feels so weird because, I mean, and I'm guessing, like, I know rap shit was loosely based off of the City Girls, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So it makes you wonder the dynamic in their friendship for real. Like, what's true, what's fake? Like, is it just that you was friends with this girl, y'all was cool kicking it growing up, but y'all really didn't fuck with each other like that, but y'all was cool. And then I started to get, you know, popular and everything, and then you get caught up and, you know, like your fraud case or whatever, where you got to go do a year. And that's
she had to do a year, right? It was just a year.
She did a year. And so that's why I'm trying to understand what is really the dynamic in your friendship, because honestly, there's certain things, like I don't believe in going to the internet and sneak dissing people or making songs and sneak diss. Bitch, you got my number. Call me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm older than them. Excuse me. And so the game is different. It's just different for us. But half the time, I just be like, don't y'all got, like, you can make 2 phone calls if you didn't have somebody's number to clear the air.
Y'all, and y'all supposed to be homies already. Y'all in a group together. It's not like this some other random person.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just weird. It's just really weird. But you're right. He probably is happy that ain't nobody tripping off of him.
Yeah. At the moment. He was like, please. He was like, man, keep on coming. He loved all these diss tracks. He was like, man, thank you. Somebody stop talking about me.
I'm Doja. They sleep. Yeah, we part of Just Posted Podcast, man. The best show on this network. Cut my check, girl. Seriously, man. Just Posted. It's just me and Doja sitting back talking about what the fuck going on in the world. Man, in the streets.
We said labor of love.
He said labor of love. I didn't say that shit. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, everybody coming to watch, though, man. We really appreciate y'all. Holla at y'all later.
Hey, man, this nigga just tall for no reason.
I'm gone.
Peace. He do regular jobs. Don't forget that.
The heat is on me right now. It's just, this is just too much.
Well, as of yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Sean Diddy Combs seeks to dismiss claims in sex assault lawsuit.
Mm.
So, and then I'm guessing. What? Okay, we got to get Gene Deal on here.
Yeah.
Because this was posted yesterday. By Yahoo.
Roy Dickerson Neal. Who is that? The person alleged in the lawsuit. Oh, that's the person they want. Joy Dickerson Neal is the person they said that this lawsuit, the one they're trying to throw out. Lawsuit filed by Joy Dickerson. Joy Dickerson Neal. I'm Googling her now.
Well, this one.
Oh, this is an accuser. This is a woman that said this is one of the women that is accusing him.
Oh, shit. This one says the downfall of Diddy's former bodyguard claims politicians and more are involved in the scandal. And former bodyguard Gene Deal has spoken out about Combs' legal roles in the new documentary, The Downfall of Diddy. He claims that it's not just people in the music industry who are nervous about being seen on those videotapes. Authorities allegedly confiscated from, oh shit, they did get stuff. I didn't know that they found anything in the mansions.
That's he what said, we don't know. They never said what.
Yeah, I don't think that it's just celebrities that are going to be shook. He had politicians in there. He had princes in there. I told you that's why I said it's going to be a bigger deal than Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, because he was the people's guy. He was able to float between both of those. And you see they just threw out some of those cases. They overturned that for Harvey Weinstein last week.
Mm. Dang. Yeah, because he's out right now, right?
Oh, I'm guessing just.
Oh, no. That's just one of them, because he's got a whole bunch of like other cases he lost.
Yeah, so he had other cases.
He's not out of jail. It's just that one charge got flipped.
Yeah.
Or like they got to retry him on it at least. Dang, I didn't realize. So I'm reading the Joy Dickerson case. It says on January, this is her claim. On January 3rd, 1991, Ms. Dickerson Neal claims that Diddy spiked her drink while she was in the restroom at Wells Restaurant in Harlem. After leaving the restaurant, she asserts he transported her to 2 other locations, a recording studio and his home. Then, according to her lawsuit, he subjected her to sexual assault, resulting in severe pelvic pain.
Ooh.
Traumatized, she alleges that she chose not to seek medical attention or report the incident to police. This is common response of victims, blah, blah, blah. When she felt safe, Ms. Dixon confided in her best friend about the alleged rape. The allegations in Ms. Dickerson's lawsuit bear notable similarities to those of Ms. Ventura's. They parallel the legal actions. Soon after the rape, Ms. Dickerson Neal claims to have discovered that Diddy has secretly recorded the incident without her knowledge or consent. Devontae Swing, a mutual friend, allegedly told her that Diddy has shown him the tape. When she inquired who also had seen the footage, Devontae responded, "Everyone." Devontae reportedly said he wished to take a stand against Diddy, but his fear that his band Jodeci might lose their record deal stopped him. Diddy was Jodeci's A&R at the time. She claims that Devontae was willing to ignore that Diddy allegedly did that and victimized her. In order to safeguard his own interests, Ms. Dickerson Neal's lawsuit describes bystander betrayal, a common fear feature of rape culture, where victim survivors face a collective unwillingness to condemn assault among community bystanders, often driven by fear. Dang.
So she found out about a tape from Devontae Swing.
Yeah.
Who also sidebar.
And this actually makes.
Music, but we're not going to do that today.
You said what now?
Nothing.
About you not have not listened to a whole Jodeci album?
No, that ain't what I said.
What? Go ahead. What are we not going to do tonight?
Because you know he also an abuser.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're not going to litigate that today. You know.
Yeah, we ain't going to go in it today.
He's a physical abuser. Literally.
Yeah.
Literally, people. That Google. Do some Googles, y'all. Y'all can go down that rabbit hole on your own. But I can see Devontae in 91. If it's 91, 92, Jodeci didn't drop until 92, 93.
Okay.
So he literally was probably scared that if he did say something, he wasn't going to have his record deal.
Yeah.
He had a legitimate fear at that time.
Yeah.
He had a legitimate fear at that time. Wow. She named Devontae in it. Jeez. Wow.
Which means that I think that's, I believe that. Like whether whomever, whether it was Diddy, somebody else, I believe that like for your homie to come to you and say this, that's wild. And then
he said everybody saw it. Like it wasn't
everybody. And then for her to even name his name in that suit, she probably told him. But if he had gotten subpoenaed, he can't lie under oath.
No. And you know, that's the case he's trying to get.
But he ain't got nothing to lose now.
Yeah, but she claims, and I mean, this is the one that Diddy's trying to get thrown out. That's the one he's trying to get thrown out.
Yeah, I wonder what's the one with the girl that was the minor that's a public figure.
That one's still being litigated. We still don't know who that is. We got our suspicions. We won't put those out until let y'all know if we were right or not.
Yeah.
if it does come out.
Yeah, for sure.
There still was an underage person that was going through all that.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to tackle this Amanda Seals thing or what you want to do? How you want to do this?
We can talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's get Amanda Seals out the way. Go ahead.
I want to say this. And I said it before when we talked about Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp is not a trained journalist. He is not. The hope is that he does go and as he continues to podcast, because it's different when you talk in sports on TV and just have, you know, doing your Shay Shay After Dark. It's another to try to have certain conversations with people. And honestly, yes, Amanda Seals wanted to go on that show. Yes, Shannon Sharp. Hey, I extended the invitation to you, but it's another thing. You have to know what you're walking into, you know, and who you kind of dealing with. And I wasn't going to sit up there and watch that entire interview because I got shit to do. You know,
I can't do full Club Shay Shays no more. Just give me the clips.
Yeah, just give me the clips and keep it moving. And so I want to preface this with saying that everybody, there's, you just can't be in every space trying to have certain conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Amanda Seals conversation would have been better for a Gayle, you know, maybe another platform where somebody can go back and forth with her and try to, you know, divulge a little more. Because it just sounds like, you know, it seems like he's giving people this platform to soapbox, to air out their grievances about things.
Mm-hmm.
And do I think that Amanda is lying or anything? No, I believe that there are truths to a lot of things that she can say. Somebody could be your favorite person, but treat somebody like shit behind closed doors. Other people, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. those two can coexist. So I do think that there is a Amanda Seals hate train that's happening right now, because people, especially for Black people, we're not used to people being so outspoken, because we are always, you know, from kids, you know, as we're growing, we're taught that kids are, you know, people in the scene, they're not hurt, you know, don't be saying this, don't be saying that, don't be embarrassing the family, don't be embarrassing our people, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes, just like I said about Diddy, some people just be shitty people. Mm-hmm. And that could just be that. So I implore people to kind of take a step back and kind of think about, like, there are different experiences that they had in life. And sometimes you're not going to relate to everything. You're not going to understand everything. And that's cool too. Right. But I think the crazy thing is just how we have all of these platforms, Essence included, to on this hate train. And when,
what do you think it's coming from? Like, what do you think it's
I think it's coming, like, even when she started to say what happened at those parties, we heard about that a while ago, you know, for a minute out here. When she was saying that Issa's publicist was XYZ to her, denied her entry to a party that she had been invited to or whatever, and then, you know, these other people are getting involved and you just being cunty, and then you come in and find me in a party to say you don't like me, you calling my phone saying stuff. That is bizarre. So if I'm saying something to you and I'm like, hey, I don't know what happened, or if I missed something and I'm talking to you one-to-one, I'm like, hey, like, I think she has a problem with me. I don't know where this stemming from. And then you coming to me saying, oh, y'all adults, y'all can handle that. But since she works for you.
Yeah.
So I think that was a lot to, you know, to deal with it. And I think that sometimes it's the same thing like we talked about with Drake. You know, go where you appreciate it, and go, and, you know, you got the people that fuck with you, and that's it. And Amanda has to realize that it's people that fuck with her. It's people that really genuinely fuck with Amanda. And I know that people have had issues, you know, about, you know, certain things, like about the Tamir Rice thing, the Sean King thing, and, you know, certain things that she said, you know, throughout. And she ain't no different than a lot of these other people that y'all, like, subscribe to. She human just like everybody else. And
but she doesn't take anybody. I will say that I don't think she take, but the only problem, or I wouldn't say problem, but the thing that I could see is she doesn't take any accountability for anything she does or says.
I definitely can agree to how you could, you know, say that.
Well, she literally got mad at him for stuff she said on the show. Like, that was amazing to me. Like,
also, so this goes back to what I was about to say. You had no business going on Shannon Sharp. You had no business going on Shannon Sharp.
If y'all just listened, you just missed it.
But there's certain, so just like how, okay. So remember when she was on The Real?
Mm-hmm.
Amanda
was it the real or was it the, it's the real, right? Not the talk, right? It's
the real,
right?
Yeah, the real. The talk is a different show.
Okay.
She had no business hosting on that show. She had no business being like a co-host on that show. Like, let's just be real about that. Like, let's be real about the real. She had no business being on that show because there were just certain conversations that people, if I wanted to have those conversations, I'm watching the View. That was where she probably would have been more of a better fit a little bit. But the real is fluff. Them ladies was not trying to have those deep philosophical conversations.
This is the Tamar Braxton show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tamar.
Who I look like a puppet. Which, sidebar, her and K. Michelle got into it again yesterday. And K. Michelle posted a picture of this puppet. Aww. Baby. I love K.
They got beef? K. Michelle and Tamar got beef?
I don't know how they could be. They, the beef even started between them. But yeah, they have been beefing off and on for a minute. And so apparently this conversation, Tamar was on a podcast and was saying something. They were asking her about Black people segueing into country. So she kind of gave props to Beyonce or whatever and some other people. And she was saying that there are some people that have no business doing it. And people took it as if it was shade to K. Michelle.
Mm, okay.
And so K. Michelle posted a picture of Janice that's a puppet from like Sesame Street or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or the Muppets. And yeah.
But go ahead.
I think the conversation that we have to have about the reality of it is that I think Amanda still is having a hard time realizing and understanding that she doesn't belong in every space. Because just like how we talked about Kendrick's verses earlier and the reading, the education level in this country, for people to be able to break down what was said, it's the same thing with Amanda Seales, baby. You don't belong in every space, and that's okay. Some of those spaces you have to cultivate, and some of those spaces you will fit in just fine. But everything ain't for everybody. And do you really want to be mixing and mingling people like that? I don't. Listen. You're treating yourself like you Common. and you're not. You're not. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. There's certain things that we're just not doing. And that's cool. And if that's fun for, you know, like if you like to indulge and I don't like to do certain things, that's cool. You know what I mean? Everything ain't for everybody. So stop trying to make yourself fit in all these spaces. You a star and you trying to go into a square. You trying to go into a circle. It don't work like that. So you got to get in where you like, where you fit in and just go from that. And I think that's the problem with Amanda, is that she's missing the mark. And I know she said that she felt like, you know, she is likely on the spectrum because she said she's likely like autistic or something. And then
that was the thing. Yeah. And then she said, but then
Shannon said, had you been tested? And she said, no, because of probably
10K, she said.
Okay. I don't think that.
She said it's 10K, it's expensive. That's why I haven't been tested.
Oh, so maybe she doesn't have insurance or something? She got a SAD card. Like, I'm like, listen, I tell you, I'm trying to get that SAG insurance. Shit. You can go through your insurance and get that. Because I want to be tested for ADHD.
Right.
Like, I know I got that. I know I got that shit. And that's probably.
You just need it on the books.
Yeah. But some people, on top of things being expensive, I now know that everybody doesn't have access to, you know, certain things and a lot of things. But there are resources out there that make, you know, things available to you. You know, like I told you, my hearing aids was out of pocket. I was going to have to pay like $4K minimum for my hearing aids. And luckily I had a Black lady helping me, and she referred me to the Department of Rehabilitation. I got them through the state for free.
Dang. Dope.
Nigga, I was like, who? I got this 4K. Do I need to hear that bad?
I don't want to pay for that with it.
Nigga, I was like, I was like, shit, I ain't been hearing this long.
You thought I could go a little bit longer?
I can go a little bit longer. Shit. And that sucks. That sucks in general that even has to be a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, but and I get also like, because like, it's people that we know for a fact are likely, very likely bipolar, and they're probably aware of it, but they're afraid of what that prognosis may even say to them.
Me.
Because then that reality sets in. And so then that was like that up, like, I said this, or this is how I met her. It was that, girl, you said it.
And then the thing about it, she got mad about
him. You don't want to pay for the test. But I'm trying to understand how you don't have insurance through that. And I think, and like, well, Insecure went off, what, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm. 2 years. She's worked. Two, three, maybe 3 years ago.
I feel like Amanda has worked since then where she wouldn't have even lost
on the
it.
Real. She was on the real. When she was on the real, I think.
That was during the same time as Insecure. It was during the same time, but then she had that show on what was it, CBS, with Chrissy Teigen and Jeff Foxworthy or something.
December 2021 was the last air date, so 3 years ago, almost two and a half years.
And so she was on there before that. So yeah.
But then I've never seen her be like, man, I'm sorry, I was wrong on that. I've never heard her do that. As much as she be accusing people and going off on people, especially the Tamir Rice thing. That was she really took it there with the Tamir Rice thing.
And it was weird because
but she's super intelligent, though. Don't get it twisted. She's super intelligent.
And so I think. But I think that also, like I said, you can very well be smart, but your person and is not matching. What do they call that? Asperger's?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit of that where you missing reading the room and you just be saying stuff. That's what that sounds like more than... Which is still a level of being on the spectrum, I guess, like a low level, depending on how extreme. But, man, because I'd be like, girl, some of the stuff. But, like, even what she was saying about, like, the Tamir Rice, somebody brought it that back up, like, are you going to apologize to Samira Rice about whatever she said about Sean? She's like, well, when did I say that? Like, what did I say? I never said that. She, whatever it was, she was like, you can't even find that because that's not what I said. Y'all took something and made it something else.
But why is it, then my question becomes, what is it about you that people, you're not like paid, is what is it about her that she's just under fire?
I think it is just
like, what is it about her? Why is she the easy target?
Because, I mean, she's the easy target. Just look how she... Like we said, like how you interact with people, how you speak to people, how it comes across, and you have all these different issues that, and you want to air your grievance. And then it's also that thing where it's like, okay, people are like, okay, that's cool. Like this happened to you, that happened to you. But now you're starting to be the common denominator, which we all have to do it sometimes, is just look in the mirror and be like, okay, well, what part did I play in this? And so I think that's the part where it's maybe not computing that well for her. Or for a lot of people. And right now, it's just, like I said, she said something. I don't even know what she said. Oh, when she was talking about not being invited to the awards and stuff and hosting the BET Awards 1 year when we had COVID, and then the NAACP Awards and not being invited. And then it just sparked this debate. And like I said, I think the weird thing, the tacky thing was, you know, for these websites to post or create, you know, think pieces or, you know, opinion pieces about her. Because I'm sorry. I don't, like I said before, I don't know what the fuck is going on at Essence over there. Because even, you remember we talked about, about some tweets that one day and how the guy was like, this is what it should have said versus how y'all flipped this and made this something else.
I mean, Essence is not owned by the same, it's owned by, I believe, like Time Warner or something now.
Okay. I thought Essence was back to being black owned.
Is it? Hold on.
Or maybe I'm just thinking about Ebony. Maybe I'm just thinking about Ebony.
Hold on. Let me see. I didn't think it was a black. Oh, wow. So the dude, Rich Lou Dennis is the owner of Essence.
Yeah.
And that's supposedly is the secret dude that bought Revolt, too.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I heard that was being.
Where did he got bread from? Who this man? They got all this bread like this.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, what the fuck is going on at Essence recently where y'all just been messy? It's really weird. And I'm like, y'all need to revamp that and rebrand it. And it just makes me think of when I was reading Elaine Welteroff's book, More Than Enough. And she was talking about how she had that internship.
He's the owner of that skincare company. Shea Moisture.
Oh, him. Okay.
That's how he got his bread.
And so when she was saying some of the stuff that she experienced, like even at her internship at Essence, I was like, niggas. But there was this period where it was just, you think about, like, even now, I'm like, I can't wait to be, featured in Essence or, something like that. And it's just like, y'all are moving like the shade room right now. What is going
But that's because everybody's all about these likes and stuff. Like, nobody wants to stay in their lane anymore. Yo, I saw Black Enterprise doing an article on that. I was like, what the hell?
And I feel like everybody posted like the same op-ed from this girl, and it was just really weird. But like I told, like when you posted in the group, I was like, let me fix this. Like, so Amanda, when I said the thing about, okay, Amanda Seals, it's time to have a conversation about Amanda Seals, and it's time for us to like have a deeper conversation about the entities that have like blocked her out that have been kind of problematic. Everything, when we think about it in hindsight, everything we know is very clicky. We gatekeep. We always feel like there could only be one at that time, depending on what's happening. So there's a lack of community within our community. Because there ain't no way, like you said, Black Enterprise, Essence, Blavity had posted something and they took it down. The Root. And The Root is becoming more like The Onion. There's no way of, like, it can't be that slow of a fucking news day where all y'all are posting and talking about the same shit that don't, like, I'm not even trying to be funny. This is a non-factor in all of our lives. Like, the problem is that why are y'all having a hard time swallowing what this girl is saying? Like, whether it be, she could be speaking facts about something, whether it be what's happening, because she's been very vocal about what's happening in Gaza and Israel. Having people on her platform that are, reporters, journalists, and different people, like, from the, our descendants, and so why is it that we're picking and choosing? But like I said, people like to, like, we always got to be bad about somebody. We always can't like somebody. And that just is what it is. I implore people to go where people pour into you, and that's it. That's in our friendships. If you feel like you don't got nothing else in your cup, it's time for you to examine the circle.
Yeah, it's time for you to fix that. See that circle, how big your circle really is, you know, or like are decreasing. Go, like we said before, go where you celebrate it, man. Like, that's just plain and simple.
Yeah.
All right, Dom. Everybody ready to hit you up at?
You can find me in St. Louis. No, I'm just fine.
That's to be like, word, when you gonna be here?
Yeah, no. That's so funny because Netta posted something on Twitter yesterday saying something about how she really want to troll somebody. And I was like, girl, we from St. Louis. You got to do it. Mm-hmm. Just on that alone. Say what you're gonna say.
Shout out to Netta, man. We should get her on the show.
We should. She just followed me back because of that tweet yesterday. And I have her Essence magazine cover.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I let's look into that. And then you can find me on St. Angela's Whiskey Sour Podcast.
She's almost there, y'all.
We're almost there. Subscribe to my YouTube. What else I got going on? You know, I got the candles. Doing some revamping with that on that side. Had to take a little step back because, you know, small businesses, it'd be bleeding your pockets. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what we're doing. And, yeah, that's all I got today.
All right. Thank you all for listening as always. And we'll be back soon. Peace.